hold on one second. I really have to use the bathroom. I didn't think I was going to talk that fucking long.
Holy smokes.
That's what three cups of coffee will do for you.
It gets dangerous sometimes, man. You get to a certain point in life, you're like, you know, you have to stop challenging your bladder. In the garage, I'm Corey Cope.
I'm Freddie Woff.
Kickstart for God. This is here's the weird thing. We're at number four for fucking April.
Last one.
Well, there's five.
Oh, is there? Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, because next 29, we get next. Yeah. We get one more.
It's weird for us to get five of any single day like that. Like for us, for like a Friday or a Monday where we're doing multiple episodes or five episodes or something a month, especially a month that's only got 30 days in it. But there you go. Anyway, so it is the 22nd today, and we got some movie announcements or some Blu-ray announcements, some
updates
for vidiots, some quick reviews of things that we did over the last couple of days, because we both were pretty busy this weekend. So anyway.
Some stuff.
I think you got a great leader for what you did last night, or I should say what you did on Saturday night.
On 420, Saturday afternoon.
420. Let me give you, before you get to yours, we had gone planning going to Disneyland. Part of like it was, we were going to go for our second time of our three that we're going. And I said to Melody, I'm like, I want to go on 420. I want to see everybody. I want to see people high walking around, just being mesmerized by fucking mouse shit and stuff. But as I mentioned pre-mic to you, Joey didn't feel good on Friday when he came home. So I rearranged the days. And so I canceled that. So we didn't go. We ended up going to my mom's to go work on stuff and prepare her for moving, because she's moving, and not with us. She's moving out of state to my sister's. So I didn't get to enjoy my 420 the way everybody else got to. Not like you, especially. And when you, and I forgot what you were doing until you sent me a photo. I'm like, oh shit. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So 420. 5 p.m., which I didn't also realize until 4 or 3:58. I looked at it and I was like, holy fuck. And, you know, I live at least an hour away from Vidiots. But last night, well, yesterday afternoon into last night, Vidiots screened, it was the 30th anniversary, which I also didn't realize because I was like, holy fuck, 30 years has gone by so quick, of Taylor Hackford's Blood In, Blood Out. And joining Taylor Hackford last night for the it was crazy. It was when I got there, it was 5 o'clock. Like I really rushed in. I had to go to the bathroom like mad, and it was chaotic. The fucking lobby was filled with people, and there was a big book signing, which I wasn't aware of. I did not know that there was also a book signing. Hat and Beard Press was there. They'd done this 30th anniversary book, which is beautiful. Of Blood In, Blood Out, and it's filled with it's photographs and the artwork and backstory, and it's a really beautiful love letter to not only the movie itself, but kind of also to the culture that the film celebrates, and just the LA that existed back in, you know, 90. Okay, must have shot this. I think they shot this in the late 91, 92. They were testing it in 93, and I think it was released in 93, which is funny because that would make it a 31-year anniversary, but right. I'm not sure why they're saying 30th.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let them, you know, they know better than me. I'm just saying it's a 31st anniversary. But anyway,
right.
This book is beautiful. If you were lucky enough to get one last night, and they didn't start selling it till 10 minutes before the screening started per Mario, and there was a giant line. There was still a line when I got there. And I got there literally right at time to run in and jump in a seat and, you know, not be that guy who comes crashing in the middle of the panel discussion. But what was crazy is, so I thought that the panel discussion was just going to be, because they only announced two guests, right? And it was Taylor Hackford and Jimmy Santiago Baca,
right?
The poet who wrote the screenplay. And And I was like, that was totally down for that. But joining, I'm like, oh, there's like six chairs up there. What's going on here?
Yeah, your photo was like, I'm like, hey, what happened? There's an upgrade. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, oh, fuck, who's going to be there? Because it's a stacked cast. And I was like, holy shit, who did they get to show up here? So the introductions start to happen. And so you get Taylor, you get Jimmy. And there's all these iconic lines in the movie. If you've seen it, there's become pop culture. And the movie's has a big following.
Right.
And it was crazy, dude. Just the crowd. I mean, I would talk, like, I could talk a whole episode about the diversity and just the crazy audience that was there. So then they announced Carlos Carrasco as Popeye, who most people probably know Carlos from, he was Gigantor in Speed. Mm-hmm. So we're all super familiar with him. So they announced Carlos Carrasco and I'm like, holy shit. All right, cool. Fuck, this is great. Who else is going to be here? Who's going to be next? Who is going to be here? And then they got Jenny Gago, who plays Lupe. She's one of the characters, Miklo, she's his mom. She has one pivotal scene in the movie. You know, she's been in a ton of things. And then they get to who's kind of one of my favorite characters in the movie. He's a minor character, but he has several scenes. You know, so they announce Gary Carlos Cervantes, who plays the character Smokey. Then we get down to an empty seat. And I'm like, well, who's not here?
Right.
And I'm like, well, fuck, is this like planned? Are they going to like, and I'm like, are they going to walk out Brad? Are they going to walk out Billy Bob Thorne? I mean, who is going to show up and sit in this last chair? And they start the discussion. Hackford's talking. He talks for a bit. Then they go over to Jimmy Baca starts to talk. And then we get into Carlos Carrasco and he's talking. And he's, you know, it's crazy because the funny thing is he's playing an LA Chicano. And, you know, he grew up in New York and he's talking about, you know, he was a trained Shakespearean actor. And it's just like, dude, like, what the hell's going on here? And right in the middle of his story, somebody comes running up the aisle and he jumps in the scene. It's Jesse Barrago, who plays Cruz, who's one of the three leads in the movie. And it was funny because he literally entered and sat down like, and they're like, oh, Jesse's head, like he stepped on Carrasco's punchline from the whole story. And then Carrasco called him out for it. It was really fun. I mean, yeah. Obviously they're all friends. They've been friends for a long time. It was really cool, man. If you picked up this book last night, you were lucky and everybody was there and they were willing to sign the book. And it was super cool. I didn't get one there, but I did order the book, and you too can order the book from Hat and Beard Press, and it's $60. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen the book. Mario was kind enough to let me look at his last night, and I was so jealous I didn't get one at the moment. I actually ordered it as soon as I got home, and it's $60. But it's well worth it. It's 312 pages, and it's beautiful. It's laid out like you said when we were talking off mic. It's laid out like a yearbook, and it's really well done. It's beautiful. The craftsmanship that's gone into the book and the love that it's made with, you can tell. And if you're a fan of the movie, or if you're just a fan of movies and the history of movies and kind of Los Angeles and the Chicano culture and all of that, I mean, it's a really a beautiful book. And I would say pick one up and you can order it from Hat and Beard. They're not out yet, but they will ship directly to you. What we were talking, it's a 9x12, you know, you're getting your money's worth, and it's a thick book that's had a lot of care put into it. And there's beautiful photographs, not just of the backstory, production still. I mean, it's loaded. It's a great piece. Like I said, if you're a fan of the movie or just a movie fan or just fuck, if you like art in general, right, poetry, art, all the things that, the movie really sort of embraces in the culture. Pick it up, man. Hat and Beard Press.
The thing about Hat and Beard, I will buy a Hat and Beard book, and even if it's a subject I don't care about. If I see it used somewhere, if I see it at a garage sale, I won't hesitate. But it could, first of all, it's rare to find at a garage sale order like a used bookstore. But everything they do is given such love and care and just as much effort. And every single release that they have, even when it's just a re-release of something like in public domain, like Moby Dick or something like this, like you, we're talk about, it's a hefty book. It's 9 inches by 12 inches and it's a almost 1¾ pounds. That's a big fucking book. But 312 pages, that's a thick book. Proper paper. I mean, like you can tell, and now here's the thing, buy direct from them.
Yes.
It's $60, sure. And this is not, shouldn't be a selling point, but it's not gonna be on Amazon until October.
Right.
So it's 6 months away. And even if you order from now, it still says pre-order if you buy direct. It's out now. It came out on the 16th. But this is one of those cool things that always happens in Los Angeles when they have these kind of screenings or like a book signing at like Dark Delicacies or something like that, where a book is being advanced released for that signing to help generate, yep, you know, publicity and chatter about the project. I'm going to include both links, but please don't buy from Amazon. I'm including it so you can see the cover opened up all the way, but the best pictures that really showcase what's inside are going to be on the Hat and Beard link. So,
yep.
You know what? Take that back. I'm not going to put the Amazon link in there. I'll just use the picture. I don't want you. I truly want you to support this project. Please support it through a smaller publisher like Hat and Beard, because that's what allows them to continue to do some really great stuff.
Yeah.
And if they didn't get the support, this book wouldn't even exist anyway.
Yeah, man. And if I would have been a little bit more prepared last week, I would have let people know that this is also today at the Festival of Books,
right,
down at Exposition Park at USC, which today, but will be yesterday by the time you hear this.
Yeah.
They also did a signing there. If you're lucky enough to get one of these books, man, treasure it, because it's a beautiful piece. It's like, it's a piece of art, man.
Yeah. Going from a surprise about there being a book and surprise that the panel was actually pre-movie, which is not a common thing.
Oh, yeah. It was 45 minutes, almost an hour.
And that's the thing. You wouldn't have thought it was going to be that long because it was just supposed to be Taylor and
Jimmy.
It was just supposed to be those two and turned into six people. So, obviously you're going to get it. It's going to be more expansive. But you also didn't know about the book. There's all these little things. Nice surprises, but you could have inadvertently missed a lot of shit if you didn't just show up when you did.
Well, the thing is like Mario and I were talking last night, and it's the reason to go to these things, man. Yeah. Not just to see a movie and a big screen. Sure, that's the draw. But you get to these things, and these things happen and you're like, holy shit. And people show up and there's book signings. It's like when I went to Carpenter, right? And you know, what was the sound of, the trance music.
God. Yes. Just go ahead. I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, you never know who's going to be there. Like when I saw Drugstore Cowboy, there was a Van Zant book, you know, that they were, you know, and Gus Van Zant was there. It's just one of those things, man. The Vidiots is doing it. They're crushing it, going out of their way. I mean, and making these events special, not just, when they do get guests and they put things together, it's well worth going. So if you see there's going to be a guest, you should, whether you're a giant fan of the movie or a moderate fan of the movie, or it's just something like, you're like, oh, maybe I need to see it on big screen. You need to go to these things because you never know what you're going to learn or fucking explore or be, you know, be educated or turned onto. I mean, yeah, if you don't know anything about Jimmy Santiago, check out some of his poetry. I mean, Jimmy Santiago Baca's got he's got several books that he's known for. And, you know, he's more than just a screenwriter who wrote this movie, and he's a poet, man. And there's a certain language to this script that, you know, when you, and I think that's one of the things, they talked about it a lot last night, but I think I totally agree. It's one of the things that kind of makes this movie stand out from another movie that is written, similar, some would say. But the language of this movie and the passion that comes across, it's funny, all three guys said it. And, you know, if it's not on the page, it's not on the stage, so to say.
Right.
But it's really true. And again, I've forgotten how much I loved this movie. And I hadn't seen it on a screen since 1993. I've seen it. I own a copy on DVD, like I had mentioned before. But seeing it with a crowd And God damn it, dude. It's one of those things. This is a movie like where people are saying the lines before they're happening, you know, and again, that doesn't happen with every movie you've seen. So, and especially for a movie like this, it's a very, I hate using the word cult movie because it's not a cult movie. Right. It's just a movie that has a big and well-deserved following. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm going to leave it. It was really fun. It was, and I've been, you know, you and I, we've been to a ton of these kind of things. Man. And this might have been top five for me, like as far as panel discussions and screenings. And
usually when you have a movie of this age and people show up to it, I mean, even if you knew that some of the performers were going to be there, it's usually, you're not usually lucky enough to get the leads or the heavy support players. And not like you got, so not only is it a surprise that they were there, you got three of them, four of them to go along with that, which is pretty cool. There was somebody missing though. I mean, both talked pretty much about how it surprised me. And no Ben Bratt. And it struck me funny because the same year that this came out, he was in Demolition Man.
Yeah.
And there's something I've never talked to you about this because it just came to mind when we were sitting here talking about it. In the movie, he plays Alfredo Garcia in Demolition Man, because everybody's got these funny names and they're based on that's the running joke of the movie. But there's something I was curious about. Now, obviously they're making a reference to Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. Now in that, Warren Oates plays Benny. Is that the joke? Did they name him that character, or was it in the script? Did they name him that because his name's Benjamin?
In which one? Blood Out?
No. In Demolition Man, Alfredo Garcia is his name. No. And I thought they were making a reference to,
I'm sure,
to
it's the a
Peckinpah
reference.
Movie.
It's a reference.
I don't think it was originally.
It's a double reference. I think it's a double reference.
Yeah.
Or deep cut, as they say.
Yeah. Speaking of another fucking great Kris Kristofferson performance. Fuck, dude.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, sidebar too much.
Like, it's funny. I'm just going to blast through this real quick because this is a movie, like, and again, we do this all the time. You see something, and this is an epic movie because it's 3 hours, dude. Right. It's every bit of 3 hours, but it doesn't feel that way. It's so crazy. It goes by so quickly. It's paced so well, and you're so engulfed and entrenched in what's happening. But I mean, dude, like, here's the thing. Forget people who are in it, right? We talked about Jesse Borrego, Ben Bratt. I mean, Damien Chapa is he's kind of the main character, and he's kind of his own thing. But I mean, dude, I forgot Delroy Lindo's in this movie. Mm-hmm. The late Tom Towles is in this movie. Early movie for Raymond Cruz, who we love. You know, we talked about him a lot. And when we did La Llorona. Yeah. but you get a pre-Sling Blade Billy Bob Thornton. Probably a pre-Tombstone Billy Bob Thornton as well. I mean, the cast just goes on and on. It's just filled with familiar faces and Tom Wilson.
Let me lean on Cruz real quick. I don't think I worded this way when we were talking about him during the ghosty month that we did. For a guy who has such a distinct look, I mean, you can't, unless you put a shit ton of latex makeup on him, you are going to recognize Raymond Cruz the moment, even before he speaks. He's a fucking chameleon, and it goes to his performance because that the most, I didn't say this during that episode, that is the most... Fuck, I don't know how to say this. I think it's probably the most American performance, the most American character he's played, where it didn't seem, even though the movie takes place in Los Angeles, it didn't seem like they were leaning on his bloodline, his heritage, the kind of parts that he usually plays.
Yeah.
The most Anglo performance he's ever given. And I don't know how to word it properly.
Yeah.
He's so great in everything. And like when we found out the screening was going to happen, and I'm like, oh man, it'd be amazing if he showed up. And even better, look what you got. I had no idea that many people are going to show up.
That's dude, and weird. I was shocked because, I mean, I was shocked that Danny Trejo didn't show up. You know, I thought Trejo might show up because Trejo's in it. He plays Geronimo. He's one of Leonde. Uh-huh. And Ving Rhames is in this movie, pre-Marcellus Wallace.
But not by much.
No, but I mean, this is like it's apples to oranges. It's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, seeing him in this is, you know, this is right after Dave, probably. Like, the only, you know, the first thing I noticed Ving in, I want to say, I know he was in Miami Vice and a bunch of other things, but the first thing I ever noticed was Dave. And this is his character in Blood In, Blood Out is, he's almost, and again, Ving is almost unrecognizable. You see him and you know it's him, but like in my mind, in my memory of him, I didn't remember that he was the gang coordinator because he's so good and he's so, like, you know, that's the thing too, is like, this is really an ensemble movie, like in the truest sense of it. Like, you've got your three leads who you follow the three stories, but they never overpower. They never take away from the story. Like, when we cut back and forth, and the way, and they intermingle over the course of, you know, of almost 15 years. Yeah, it's a great movie. I mean, to me, I recommend it to people all the time. You know, it might not be everybody's cup of tea, but it should be, maybe. I don't know. Especially if you're the Angelino and you grew up here. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, it doesn't matter. Again, it's funny, they say this over in the movie all the time, in the film all the time. It doesn't matter where you come from. It matters, you know, it's not about being Chicano or being white or being Anglo or being... It's a feeling that we all, you know, it's a brotherhood. It's a real, yeah, it's an interesting take on, you know, there's a lot of lessons in it. You know, right. It's a true crime, you know, it's listed as crime, true crime drama, but it's more than that. Again, it's a movie that stands the test of time. It's a 30-year-old movie that's 3 hours long, and I didn't have any problem sitting through it. And if you were to tell me to go see a 3-hour movie today, I'd be like, what? Get out of here.
Dude, not going to the screening with you, what, again, we had plans, so that's the only reason I didn't go, like, when we were first talking about going. And I thought,
right,
I'm glad I would have, until we started talking about it, or I got reminded that you went last time, you sent me the photo, I was on the couch watching this week's movie for the month, and I looked it up, and I'm like, holy fuck, I do not remember that movie being that long, and I would have been... I would have been struggling big time.
Dude, what I'm going to tell you is Zach said the same thing. The seats at Vidiot's are the best seats of any of these theaters.
Yeah.
By far.
I think we talked about this recently, that whoever they got to support them, whether it was a bunch of local people, whatever, but they didn't, when they reopened, was it last year? Or was it the end of 2022?
Oh, it's your anniversary now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Last April.
They didn't skimp anywhere. They hadn't skimped anywhere. With the video store aspect of it, the micro theater, the Eagle. I mean, everything is so meticulously designed and put together. You go to New Beverly and they did a remodel when 4 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, something
like
that.
All they did was order the same shitty chairs.
Yeah, maybe they just recovered the ones they already had.
Maybe, who knows? But you know, last night...
It is an ass-numbing experience.
Here's the thing. Last night, they did a great double bill of Fright Night 85 with Night of the Creeps. When they announced that, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. But I'm like, no, I can't. I can't do it.
What sucks about the New Beverly, it's hard to get up and go in between shows to get up. And there's no space. You have to literally go outside and then you come back and your seats might be pilfered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they used to be cool about that. People used to go there and then, you know, everybody would go, everybody was happy.
Yeah, you go back to your seat.
You wouldn't go back and fucking nick somebody's seat, but, you know, they don't care. I'm taking Joey to go see Pulp Fiction in May because they're doing the 30th anniversary. They're showing it at pretty much every night. Oh, there's starting on the Tuesday, the 21st through that Sunday at a normal time. Quinn's shown it at midnight numerous times, but this is the first time we're getting a 7 o'clock showing. So that's how I'm going to introduce Joey to the movie for the first time. He's going to see it in 35 and he's going to see it in the theater. So I'm stoked for that. But in general, Vidiot's It's just proper seats there. I could have easily sat there for 3 hours plus the Q&A, plus that, I mean, put the full panel, the book thing. I could have been there the entire time. I still probably would have walked away feeling better than I would if I'd gotten the new Bevan saw a double bill. As amazing as I love, and as much as I love those two movies, a double dose of that kind of vibe.
Right. Well, it's crazy. It's like, the theater, I was going to mention this too. They are adding a 35 millimeter projector at Vidiot's. They made that announcement last night.
If there was a reason to put an asterisk on, I was thinking about it when you were talking up the events and or how they're turning screenings into events more frequently than not. That's the trade-off. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're not seeing stuff in 35,
well,
but what they're cultivating is fucking incredible. But now that you've added that aspect of it.
Yeah, so. Totally. It's, it's kind of become my go-to. Like, and it's not like it's closer than some, it's the direction I'm going. It's easier to get in and out of. And also, it's just the support that pours into Vidiot's, I've enjoyed everything I've seen there. They've all been little mini events. And hey man, it's a good time. And, go see a movie there, man. Is what I'm saying. Go see a movie at Vidiot's.
Yeah.
Taylor Hackford might be my Ridley Scott.
In what way? After what I said, that's why I'm asking.
The way that people look at Ridley Scott, I think I'm more like Taylor Hackford is my Ridley Scott.
No, I was going to say something during when you were talking, and it came to mind, and that's why haven't we covered one of his movies yet?
No, I know. Right? We almost covered the Devil's Advocate during The Devil Made Me Do It. We talked about it.
And I think we even mentioned why we didn't do it too. And that was a thing. Can you, cause you'd mentioned it cause you had just seen it for the first time.
Right.
After 30 years, what the fuck it was.
Yeah.
Recently my friend Eric, he went and saw that 45th anniversary screening of Dawn of the Dead. That's been going around. There's a kind of was like, they play the Alamo. I think he saw the Draft House here in town. And I'm like, you reminded me, I'm like, oh, you know what? I know that 4K came out from Second Sight a while back and I never got it. Well, it's been out of print for a while, and only in the United States. You can still get it from Amazon UK, which is how I got it. Now, it has three different flavors. Now, it has the theatrical from Romero, but also has Argento's. His Argento's cut, the European cut, which is, those two things have been packaged together for a while. Back when Sergio and I were together, we had a Laserdisc version of that in the store. Again, an import, but we had it. But this 4K release had from Second Sight had the Cannes cut. So it's essentially the director's cut from Romero. And that's what I ended up watching on Friday. And the 4K cleanup on this, I mean, we talked before about you get a fine line between cleaning up and updating the image, not the quality of the image, but the colors and things like that, but still allowing the film grain to still be present, because that is, especially a movie from 78, you got to make sure you're doing it right. And it's fucking glorious. Now, the extra stuff that's in there, intercut in there from the Cannes cut, obviously it's sourced from different places, not from the negative. It's not so jarring. It's not like, and that's not like it's coming from VHS and being added to a Blu-ray movie. It's coming from a less preserved film source. But even those moments, even though it's not jarring, you can tell the difference. It's still as good as most boutiques re-releases on Blu-ray. And overall, one of the things that Dawn of the Dead has always suffered from was disappointment with the film stock and how it produced Tom Savini's work. There's moments where the blood looks a little bit paint-like, a little bit like magenta. Yeah, yeah. But they didn't try to correct that, because the whole point of these boutique shops is not to fix something that was done wrong. They're not George Lucasing anything. They're just trying to preserve the original release and make it look as good as possible. So if they had changed that, I mean, I know plenty of people's, the part of the charm of the movie is having moments where it's really only once the bikers end up in the mall that become where the blood doesn't quite look right. But when you get that first bite, when they're inside the apartment building where the husband like bites the shoulder of the wife, that looks so good. The red looks so true, even though there's a little bit of that, the thing I just discussed with the looking of a paint. But overall, The image looks great. It looked fantastic. This is, I was trying to get Joey to come downstairs and watch it with me, but you know, he had a, like I said earlier, he had a rough day at school. Wasn't damn allergies, man. We, I watched it all the way through. It's fantastic. But this set again, Second Sight, we've mentioned it before, but not as frequently as like some of the other really smaller boutiques, but Second Sight kills. They always do incredible releases. This was $50. I still paid retail for it. I paid $7.30 to be shipped from Amazon UK. I got it in like 10 days or something like that. There's four or five things. I'll put the pictures in the show notes on Patreon. But again, their packages are always so nice. All three cuts are on 4K. They have both Documentary of Dead. I didn't realize there was two versions of it. There's an extended version, and there's like an 80-minute version and a 100-minute version. Everything that's ever existed from Laserdisc special editions, Blu-ray special editions, DVD special editions, everything is here. It's literally a one-stop shop. This is the quintessential Dawn of the Dead box set. You're never going to find anything else like this. Now, I haven't checked it yet, but you're going to run into sometimes Region B and Region A situations when it comes to Blu-rays. But the movies, and if that's all you care about, you don't worry about the extras or anything, all three of the movies are 4K, and 4K are always region free. So you can pop them right into your 4K player and they'll play just fine. I'll report later on the Blu-ray side, because I have to put in my PS5 and not in my all region to see how it plays. But from my understand, everything plays okay. So there, it is tremendous. I'll put the link to Amazon UK if you want to pick it up. But again, it's something that if you're a fan of the series, you have to have this thing. And again, when we're talking about that, the Blood In, Blood Out book, it's Second Sight shows that similar care on the movie side of things. They just, the effort's there. These packages they put together are incredible. When you see photographs online, that does not do it justice to how amazing it looks while you're holding your hand. And I showed to Sergio, because Sergio, and like I mentioned, he and I are massive fans. We used to watch this silly ass thing. We put it on in the store. The great thing about working in a mom-pa video store, especially one being run by us, we do what the fuck we want. We'd watch whatever we want. And granted, we're not watching shit with a whole bunch of nudity, but we put on horror movies all the time with total disregard for people that would come into the store. Now, we would pause stuff if kids walked in. We wouldn't let them just play through. But we were always like that. So we'd play this movie a lot. So I had sent him pictures of the set. He didn't know the set existed. And so I'm not sure if he ended up ordering it, but... Oh, we were talking about New Jack. I told him when I was cutting New Jack City last week for Deja Review, and I knew he'd saw that screening last year with Art. So I sent him a link to it because he loved it. And then something else. Oh, and Plane. He listened to Plane. So.
Plane.
And speaking of Plane.
Speaking of Plane.
We dropped our third Gerard. I almost said Gerard Depardieu for some fucking reason. That was wrong with me today.
No, not him.
No, the problem is I think it was because I was at my mom's, and so I was knee deep in French conversation about my grandmother's and my mom's side of the family, all being from Morocco. So we were speaking French a lot. So anyway, Plane is, again, one of those movies that is so unassuming, because unless you see a trailer, you have no idea what it's about. The title tells you, like, what is this bullshit, you know?
The title tells you nothing.
Nothing. It tells you there's a plane, duh, but, you know.
Sure.
Once you see the movie, this isn't just about the plane. As I think I even said it before, like a year ago, like when the movie came out, I think I had seen it on video. And I said, it's called Plane, but that's what starts the movie. You know, it's, I don't even want to call it Speed, like how something's called Speed. And Speed's a little more direct. This is just called Plane. I mentioned in the episode that it was called Plane, and that was the original title. The original title was actually The Plane. The script was called The Plane.
The copy I have says The Plane on it.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention it during the thing, and I forwarded or asked you to corroborate that, but I found a PDF of it online. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, so we got one more with Gerard coming this week. That'll be dropped on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And Friday for... all the public releases. So
yeah, man.
We've been enjoying it. I gotta say though, I'm finding that but maybe one of the movies that we're covering this month is actually easily accessible without rental or reaching to your shelf to put your movie on. But that's okay. That's why we do these things. We stop worrying about that. And if it's there to report, we'll report it.
Yeah, man. And you can watch it or not.
Because you could get, it could be 6 months from now, and all four of them could be streaming, so you don't know.
Or none of them. We don't know. I mean, Jesus yeah. Christ, man. We can't worry about that shit. Come on.
No. Damn it.
It's like worrying about if I'm going to be able to go to Target and buy the new Taylor Swift record. It's just going to be there eventually.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, I want to say this real quick. There's not a lot of major league performers right now that musicians... They can put out a record and people actually buy the records. People buy the vinyl. People buy the CD. It's becoming less and less. Now, she's somebody that's always going to sell CDs. She's always going to sell vinyl. She dropped a new album on Friday, but you know,
Friday. Because
we're on the East Coast, they had to wait till midnight. We get it at 9 o'clock.
Right.
But 2 hours later, she drops an anthology. So the 15 songs actually was 31 songs. So there's actually a double record. Now, can you imagine being record store day yesterday and you're going to buy the vinyl and you're like, wait, where were the rest of the songs? Where are all the other songs? I'm just trying to make a funny here, but I honestly don't know if that one has all the songs on it. Is it a double record? Considering the length of the record, the first release that came out at midnight, it would have to be a double record.
It's funny, man, because they had a giant display at Target, like a 9 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah.
A fucking tower of fucking Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And people were fucking losing their shit, dude. It was fucking funny, man. Fighting each other for the record.
Dude, here's the thing about her music. And it doesn't really matter if you like it or not, but it bums people out. Like the people that really enjoy her music, when people are like digesting it, there's even memes online about leave me alone. I'm taking the day off on Friday so I can digest this record.
No, 100%.
People think of it very personally. Now, I've never been into an artist that much. Even Prince, I've never been that much where I need to like.
No.
Yeah, but you know, I have a lot of affection for her music, but I have a lot of affection for people being that passionate about it. So I think it's kind of cool. Anyway.
I mean, dude, unless the Beatles come back from the dead and fucking release a record, I'm going to just say I'm never going to fucking have to take a day off to listen to a record.
No.
Anybody.
No.
So there you go.
No.
That's just me. But hey, look, people do what you do, man. It's fine. I'm not mad at anybody for doing it. It just, to me, I'd be like, I'll listen to it while I'm in the car on my way to go wherever I'm going or whatever, or I'll try to get to it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll listen to it through headphones at some point today, but maybe not today, maybe tomorrow.
I feel like when it comes to music, I don't take a day off for it. I kind of like, hey, it's my day off. What do I want to turn to?
We're all going to get into the big pop suicide of it all. If that's where it's going. Well, that's my Heather's reference in case anybody wasn't paying attention.
I know what it is. By the way, speaking of Heather's, so we haven't talked much about the show. We have a connection to the filmmaker and I saw that in very limited release. I saw it at the Fallbrook Mall in Woodland Hills. God, dude, when did that come out? In 80, what was it?
That movie? Oh, 80, 88, 89?
89,
I think.
But I think it was super limited. I think it was at a handful of movie theaters in town. And same thing with New York. This is one of those East Coast, West Coast limited releases before it went wide, just to kind of test the audiences with a real paying audience. And my friend Jennifer and I, we were probably like five people in the theater, something like that. And when you go to see this movie when it first came out, the trailer doesn't tell you shit. And it was such an experience that, it just kind of blew my mind. I mean, I felt like I needed to take a day off from after that because anybody watches it now in hindsight based on things that have happened around the world, bad things that have happened, people use that as source of inspiration for some of the shitty things that he did when they, no, you're just a fucking piece of shit. That's why you did it. Because isn't Columbine going to be 25 this year?
I think so. Yeah, 99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fucking shit. So there is our Kickstart. And we already have May planned. So by the time you hear the thing too, even though there's 5 Mondays this month and 5 kickstarts, the week that we have our 5th kickstart is a new movie month, even on that Wednesday when it's Patreon first. Yeah. So the last episode for the public release for May is going to be the same day as Joey's last day of school. And then he's a senior after that.
Senior.
Which is weird. Anyway, there you go. So if you want to follow us on the socials, it's @KaratePod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. You can follow Corey on Letterboxd. It's Corey_Culp. Gets Culper97 on Insta. And if you want to support the show and get those episodes early on Patreon, it's patreon.com/KaratePod.
If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me at rockandroller33 on your Instagram. You can follow me at Cruz Candelaria at letterboxd.com. Or you can follow me at The Real John Ladd at bluesky.com. That's The Real John Ladd at bluesky.com.
Speaking of plane, you're getting out. I'm flying at an altitude of 20,000 feet.
Flying at an altitude of 20,000 feet. Plane.
If you look at your right side, you'll see an island we're going to have to crash land on.